just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come and see.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Crossroads. Tonight is a night to celebrate all that God has done and wants to do. It's a night where each of us can come just as we are and ask God to show himself to us in new ways. Maybe you're one who has never stepped foot in a Christian church before. Welcome. Feel free to observe, to soak it all in. Don't feel like you need to participate in any way that makes you uncomfortable. Perhaps you have been struggling in life recently. You have felt God is far away, or you have found yourself wandering from God. Welcome. Let tonight be a night to seek God anew and to trust his promise that all who seek him really will find him. Perhaps you have spent this last week meditating on the sufferings and death of Christ. Welcome. Let tonight be a night to celebrate the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Whoever you are and wherever you are in your journey with God, welcome. Let us come just as we are to receive all God has for us tonight. Please join me in prayer. Our Lord, our God, and our Savior, thank you tonight that we can join as one in front of you, Lord, and just stand before you. It is a time, Lord, where we can reflect on who we are, Lord, and we know, Lord, that we are sinners, that we are selfish, that we're driven by selfish ambition, Lord. And we also recognize at this time of year who you are. And you are an amazing and loving God that sent your Son to earth to die on the cross and pay the ultimate price for us. And, Lord, we do recognize also his resurrection and his victory over death and his invitation to us that if we believe and ask for his acceptance into our lives, that we can have eternal life with him. I do pray, Lord, that tonight we will recognize that and just praise you for the amazing and incredible God you are. Bless this time together, Lord. In your name, amen. The story of Easter begins back at the very creation of the world. God made the universe and all that is in it, and then he made each one of us. He made men and women in his very own image and breathed life into us. Throughout all time, God has had a special love for humans, walking and talking with man and desiring a relationship with each of us. Yet so often we have chosen to go our own way, decided we wanted to run our own life and that we do not want a relationship with God. St. Augustine once said, "Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in thee." The more we try to live our life our way, apart from God, the more restless and dissatisfied we actually become. Blaise Pascal put it this way, "There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God, the Creator, made known through Jesus. We have been created in such a way that no amount of money, fame, pleasure, or service to others can truly fulfill us. We are all naturally thirsty to know God. But God also made a promise to us. If we come to Him, He will fill us. Isaiah 55 says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon." God said he would provide water to drink that he would truly satisfy. Jesus tells a woman that he meets at a well in Samaria that he wants to give her living water that will never run out and that will change her life forever. He says to us that he has come to bring rest to the weary and give life abundantly. As we follow the story of Jesus tonight, we see him constantly reaching out to the poor and needy, to those who are hurting and suffering the consequences of their rebellion against God. And he does not come with condemnation, but instead he reaches out with compassion, touching, healing, feeding, comforting, and delivering people. John 3:16 is perhaps one of the most famous verses in all the Bible, and it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Do you want to know God and his love? Do you long for true life, satisfying life, eternal life? Are you thirsty? Then let's take this Easter to come together to Jesus and to drink from his stream, living water. While God loves us and offers us his living water, we have a problem. God is holy and we are not. God is our perfect, loving creator who we should have loved, worshipped, and served. But instead, as Paul tells us in Romans, we have turned away from the creator and chosen to worship and serve created things, serving ourselves and our own desires rather than serving God. This turning from God is worthy of death and eternal separation from God. Thus, Jesus needs to do far more than simply say some nice things and heal a few people. If he truly loves us, he needs to find a way to reconcile us to God, a way to rebuild that broken relationship. And the only way to do that is for someone to take the punishment that we deserve. Thus, Jesus Christ came to live a perfect life, maintaining a perfect relationship with God, and then to stand before God and offer to die in our place, thus taking the punishment that you and I deserve. Mark 15 describes Jesus' death like this. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it, and they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. Notice here the awful suffering and humiliation the soldiers and the religious leaders put Jesus through. Yet, if the story ended here, we may well assume Jesus was simply a religious martyr. Instead, Mark goes on. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at that ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn into two from top to bottom, and when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard him cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." As Jesus dies, he, who was perfect, takes on himself our crimes against God, and so God sends darkness over the whole land and turns his face from Christ, forsaking him in our place. Yet we also see something else here at the end. The curtain in the temple is torn. Early on, God had his people build a temple where they would come to worship and hear from God. But because of the righteousness of God and the unrighteousness of the people, a curtain was put between the inner court where God's presence resided and the people. As Christ dies, that curtain is miraculously torn, showing that God has indeed accepted Jesus' sacrifice and is indeed ready now to restore the relationship with you and me. It is only through the blood of Christ dying in our place that we can ever have a relationship with God. But through his blood, we can indeed be restored.
Jesus, what can make me free?
The Easter story does not end here. Jesus died and is buried, and then Mark picks up the story 3 days later. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just under sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Jesus is not just a religious martyr. He is not even just a sacrifice to die in our place. He is indeed God himself who rises from the dead, appearing to over 500 people in the weeks to come who all verify that Jesus is alive. We do not serve a dead God. We serve a living God. By his resurrection, Jesus did not show that God had accepted his sacrifice, but he actually defeats sin and death as well as Satan himself. Hebrews 2:14 through 15 says, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." We serve the God who is the giver of life itself, and who now promises all who believe in Christ new life here and eternal life with him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." Through the death and resurrection of Christ, we begin a new life, an abundant life of walking and talking with the living God. In the words of the old hymn, "I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. Christ the Lord is truly risen. It is he alone who is mighty to save and restore our relationship with God. So let's stand and worship our risen Savior.
come to a third person. That third person is Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate was the political leader, right? We just looked at the religious leaders. What about the political leaders? He was the one who had Jesus stand before him. He questioned Jesus. And he really couldn't find anything wrong with Jesus when he questioned him. Not anything worthy of killing him. So he looks at the crowds, and he says this, "What shall I do then with the one that you call the King of the Jews?" "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" And then it says this, "Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them, and he had Jesus flogged and handed over to be crucified." Pilate knew Jesus to be innocent. None of the charges that had been trumped up against him meant anything. But what did happen with him? There was a crowd chanting, a crowd that wanted Jesus crucified. Pontius Pilate didn't want to disappoint his crowds. He was cowardly. He wasn't willing to stand up for justice. And so instead, he had a murderous man released and Jesus killed. Fourth group of people is the crowds themselves. The crowds have followed Jesus everywhere, Mark. They've heard his words. They've heard him teach. They were astounded by the way he taught. They've seen him heal people and cast out demons. The crowd has been amazed. They stood there a week ago on Palm Sunday and waved palms and declared him to be king. What changed? Well, Jesus didn't ride in and become the king they wanted. They wanted their own kingdom. They wanted Rome kicked out and a nice, happy place set up. And Jesus didn't end up doing that. And so they cried out, "Crucify him. Crucify him." And so it is with all who would follow Jesus. Think about ourselves. Think about people around you that you know. We have a couple choices to make, right? Do we see Jesus just as a good teacher, just as a healer, just as one who says good things? If that's all he is to us, if we're just the crowds following, sooner or later Jesus turns around and says something we don't like. He tells us to change our lives. He tells us things about ourselves and our own heart that we don't like. As he tells about the real God, he points out things we don't want to hear. And so sooner or later we have to decide, are we going to listen to him? Or are we going to crucify him? If we go back and look at the four people we've just seen, I think we'll see the same attitudes in our own lives and hearts. The first was the soldiers. They were too busy, weren't they? They were just doing their job. They didn't really have time to figure out what this guy was. They were too busy for Jesus. Wonder about us. Are we too busy going around with life? Yeah, we see little bits of what's happening around us, but we don't really pay attention to who God is. The religious leaders, who were they? They were self-righteous, weren't they? They believed they knew the way to God. They believed they were good. They didn't need somebody to die for their sins. Who was the third? Pilate. He was the coward, right? He was concerned so much with the crowds and what other people thought. Again, think of yourself. Where are we cowardly, unwilling to stand up for who Jesus is, to stand up for truth? So concerned with what the people around us think. Maybe it's even people close to us, right? To follow Christ might not be something that our entire family understands or accepts. Or our close friends. Or maybe it's not the people closest to us, but it's just that, you know, if I were to stand for Christ in the workplace, I might even get fired. If I were to stand for Christ on the campus, a whole bunch of people would think I'm really weird. We need to think about these four. Are you too busy, self-righteous, cowardly? Or what's the last one? The crowd, they're self-centered, right? They just want what God can do for them. If he can heal me, great. If he can preach a nice sermon, great, I'll get excited. I can come and have an exciting worship time, and it's great. But I don't want him to look me in the eye and challenge me. Now, when it comes to that, I'd rather get rid of him. But we see a fifth person at the cross, a Roman centurion. Mark 15:39 puts it like this. "When the centurion, who stood there in front of Jesus, heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. Wow. The centurion, a Roman soldier, standing by the cross, just watching and taking it in and actually trying to figure out what was happening. He sees the way Jesus dies. He sees the darkness come over the land. He sees Jesus cry out about being forsaken by God. He sees Jesus give up his spirit. And he stands, bows his head, and says, surely this was the Son of God. That's the right response, isn't it? To realize who Jesus really is. He is God himself come to die. And come the resurrection, we find out that sin and death no longer have power. I think the challenge for us is, which of these responses are we going to have? And both initially, right? It takes a response of understanding he is the Son of God to come to him. But I think even as we come to him this week, think about this past week. Have you been too busy for God? Have you been self-righteous? I don't really need God this week. I'm actually doing pretty good this week. Where have you been cowardly? I don't want to talk to that person over there about God. He might think I'm odd and strange. Where have we been self-centered? So focused on our own agenda, our own life, our own things, rather than God's. And where are we willing to come and say, you are the Son of God. You are God himself. You died and rose again for me. I want to give you my life and my worship this week. Now, those are five responses from a couple thousand years ago. But it's also always good to hear of responses today and what God does in our lives today. If you want to know what Easter's about, that was it. A God who steps into our life, rescues us from sin, changes our lives in the practical ways, in the struggles of life. Even when we walk away from him for a time, he won't let go. He'll bring us back. That's the kind of God we serve. Let me pray for us. Lord, as we come to this Easter to celebrate what you have done 2,000 years ago as you rose from the dead, we also celebrate the fact that that impacts our lives today. We thank you for Naomi and her testimony and the ways you're working in her. Lord, I pray for myself, for each person sitting here tonight, that we might have those kinds of encounters with you. That we might know you and be changed by you. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. As the band comes up to kind of finish out our night together, Naomi, as she's talking about her ups and downs, reminds me, next week we have a special guest with us. Jack and Joyce Bromley, two of the elder folks in our church, are going to be here to talk about walking with God in the ups and downs of life over many, many years, and inspire us with some of the stories of what God has done in their lives. So come on out and hear that, and let's take some time and just worship God again.
Let's return to our opening story, where Jesus meets the woman at the well. John 4 says, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Jesus offers to each of us living water. Water that will fully satisfy, water that will spring up to eternal life. And all he asks is that we simply believe in him. John 3:16 promises, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Easter is not just a story of something that happened 2,000 years ago. It is the story of God who is alive and well today. It is the story of God's love for you and his promise of life to all who believe. And Easter is a story that points us forward to that day when Jesus promises to return to establish God's kingdom for all eternity. Revelation 21 and 22 describe that day like this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great city street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not heed the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. And then Christ ends by giving this invitation. The Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him who hears say, Come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. So come, come today and drink from the fountain of Christ. Come now and worship God, not just for all he has done, but all he will do, and for the eternal life he has offered. Come and worship him for his death and resurrection, for his new life, and for that glorious day when he will wipe every tear from our eye, and we will live with him forever.
One day when heaven is filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is here. Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory One day the sun